Well, there is a connection, a deep connection between the two readings we've just heard, but it's not immediately obvious. So, just to start off, does anyone think they've already spotted a deep connection between our two readings? Don't worry, I'll give you more clues. We play a little detective game. So, I've got a couple more clues, in fact, three more clues, but I need some help. Here are three more short sections from the Christmas accounts. Is anyone spontaneous enough to read us a short section? I've got it here on a sheet of paper from the Christmas accounts. Here's your first clue. There's another thing in here which connects the other two readings, some common thread running through it.
Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit."
Thank you, Pam. Jane is going to read us another little section from the Christmas story. And those who have already got a letter, you can confirm your theory. And the others can think, what's the common thread here in all these parts of the Christmas story?
But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John."
The angel Gabriel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God."
Thank you, George. So, I don't know whether you've ever noticed before, but the Christmas story is full of this encouragement. Do not be afraid. In fact, every single main actor in this story, whether it is Zechariah, the dad of John the Baptist, whether it's Mary and Joseph, whether it's the shepherds out in the fields, they hear the message of the angels. And the message of the angel is, do not be afraid. There's lots to be afraid about in the Christmas story. Because some of these people have been told that they take a part in God's plans, which is quite frankly scary. Or those simple shepherds out on the hillside, I'm sure they've never seen a spectacle as the one they are presented with in that Christmas night. Angels praising God together, bright light in the middle of the night, and then saying, "Go, you need to find this rescuer who has been born for you this night. Do not be afraid." Well, there's lots to be afraid about, isn't there, in our world at the end of 2019. Some people tell me I've given up listening to the news because there's so much scary stuff in the news. Other people look at their own circumstances and say, as I'm entering 2020, there's things I'm worried about, things I'm afraid about. And I wonder, what are you concerned about? What are you worried, anxious, afraid about as you step from 2019 into 2020? Maybe it's school. Maybe it's your job. Maybe health. Your health or the health of the person you love. Maybe a relationship. Friends, children, parents, grandchildren or grandparents, finances. Here's a much simpler question as the question I started with. How many days will there be in 2020? I've got two answers, only one can be correct. Okay, some people quickly change to the right answer. It is 366, because 2020 is a leap year, 366. Some clever people have counted all the occurrences of that little instruction, do not fear, do not be afraid, in the Bible. And do you know what the number is they've come up with? That was a leading question, wasn't it? It's got to be 366. I haven't counted them, but I trust these people have counted them. 366. It's enough instructions not to be afraid for every single day of the coming year. And I'm sure that's not by chance. God knows we need to hear that every day of this coming year. Do not be afraid. Christmas invites us to hear the message of the angels for ourselves, for the people we love, for the world we live in. Do not be afraid. And then to put our trust in the God who meets us in Jesus Christ, who became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. The same Jesus, when he had become a fully grown man, said this in John chapter 16. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. How has he done that? How has he overcome the world? Well, let's look at the first reading again that Carol read to us earlier. Hebrews 2 says this: Jesus shared our human nature so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. As I said earlier, I don't know what your greatest fear is as you look at the next year. I think quite a few of my fears are often around health issues. My own health, health of people I care for very much. But you know, all our fears are ultimately connected to our greatest fear. And that's the fear that this letter speaks about. It's the fear of death, which can so easily enslave us, can't it? And the only one who can set us free from the fear of death is the one who has overcome death. Jesus came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Do not be afraid, say the angels. And interestingly, the risen Lord Jesus, when you look at the resurrection accounts, when he meets his friends and his followers, what does he say? It's a leading question, but please humor me. Do not be afraid. Thank you, Anne. Do not be afraid. I have overcome death. I've overcome the trials and sorrows of this world. Do not be afraid. You belong to me. And even death will not defeat you in the end, because I have defeated death. There are two different approaches to life. One is constantly to be afraid of what's around the corner. And ultimately, that's connected to our fear of death. Or it is to say, whatever is around the corner, I trust in the Lord who walks with me, who is always with me, who is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, a great psalm to remember when you are walking through some scary times in your life. And even death cannot hold that final slavery of fear, because you, Jesus, have overcome death. So, who or what will you put your hopes in 2020? Your savings? Your brains? Your fitness? Your achievements? Your horoscope? And while some of us are sniggering, I find it quite scary that horoscopes are making a massive comeback among young adults of our day. And it's a multi-million industry. Or do we put our hope in the God who says, "Do not be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I have loved you so much that I have given myself for you. And even death cannot hold this ultimate fear and slavery for you, because I have overcome death." That's what we're celebrating in Holy Communion today. Today, God says, renew your trust in me as you step into 2020, as you take the bread and the wine. Because I have won the victory over death and over fear of death. In a few moments, we will come to receive the bread and the wine. And if you would like to, we've put two things there at the front. As you come, as you step up to the communion rail, you'll find a bowl there. And the bowl contains a whole load of pebbles. It also has some shiny marbles. If that appeals more to you, feel free to take a marble. And no matter how big or small these pebbles are, they can represent all those fears. All those fears that threaten to enslave us. And if you would like, before you step up to receive the bread and the wine, we encourage you to take a pebble from this bowl and then to put it in the very wintry, Christmassy bag that's next to it. That's the trust bag. And just as a symbolic act of trust in God, take a pebble and then put it in the trust bag. Say, "God, I will not let these fears enslave me because I trust in you." And then take the bread, take the wine, and go with the presence of Christ into this new year. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, this bowl with the pebbles is heavy. And we know that at times we are heavy with the fears that weigh us down, that want to cripple and enslave us. And so we pray that you would speak to our hearts what our heads know. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my rescuer. I will not be afraid. Come, Holy Spirit, pour into our hearts your love. Let us hear your voice. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you.